You're listening to Menders with clinical psychologist and leadership consultant, Dr. Nicola DePaul. Each week, get a dose of real-world inspiration from free-thinking leaders, top clinicians, healthcare innovators, and myself. Looking for quick fixes or standard management tools? Try someplace else. Motivated to maximize the resilience and diversity of your team, sustain your momentum as a leader, and transform your healthcare system? Welcome to Menders. Well, welcome back to Menders. I am still so thrilled to have you present with me. Thank you. So today I wanted to share a few things about developing or committing to a consistent listening rhythm. So let me share a story. So it was early days of COVID, and I don't know about you, but I was living in Seattle at the time, and it was pretty hard hit. We were one of the first areas of the U.S. at least to recognize the presence of COVID. And we had a citywide lockdown. You really weren't supposed to drive unless you had permission. So I had my special letter from the VA that gave me permission to leave my house. My husband was pretty much locked into our home, and I was still schlepping my infant to daycare, which terrified me. And so I was having a pretty rough time. It was also a time, you know, I was recognizing that I was burning out at that point in time, had had a hard time maintaining good boundaries at work. It's also commuting a super long way, just all kinds of things coming together. So I was experiencing a lot of anxiety and panic at work. So that's kind of my personal experience when COVID was in its early days. And I share that with you so that the leadership story I'm going to share next just kind of fits into the context of what I was experiencing as an employee at the time. So what happened was my chief of staff for my department took COVID and what was going on really seriously. And he also took staff well-being and communication with staff really seriously. And so what he started to do was to invite our whole department to a weekly coffee chat. Obviously, it was virtual at the time, but he showed up every week. I think it was on Friday mornings, and he always had, you know, some kind of brief PowerPoint with the latest information on COVID, what we needed to know, what he knew. And he just sat there. So he'd give, you know, a brief talk, and then he was simply present, and he'd open the lines for any question, and no question was off limits. It was time for open discussion. And so staff could share, you know, thoughts and feelings and fears, and mostly it was Q&A. But he didn't say, no, I won't discuss certain things. He might say, I have no idea, like, or I don't have any information on that. And he was really transparent about addressing concerns that he couldn't, you know, answer or didn't have good information to provide for or provide in response to the question. But the sense of community, connection, and being heard, and safety in being able to ask the questions was powerful. And so those moments, those months have stuck with me as a really powerful example of leaders' willingness to listen and do it really consistently. I'm sure he had other things to do and was very busy, but he was willing to consistently show up every week. Hey, Menders, if you're listening to this and you're a healthcare leader struggling to get a handle on the metrics that matter, and you're motivated to improve employee engagement, workplace satisfaction, and overall well-being, listen up. Whether you have a tiny system or a large, complex department, there is a clear path you can take to go from burnout culture to cultural renewal. go to mendinghealthsystems.com to check out my organizational well-being assessment. This mini course will walk you through an organizational self-evaluation that will help you identify your next steps to boost organizational well-being today. So pause this episode and head to mendinghealthsystems.com right now. So I encourage you to just kind of keep that in mind as we continue thinking about what might it mean for you to commit to a consistent listening rhythm with your team. So some of the things that I really think about are, you know, having a regularly scheduled time where you're meeting with your clinic, with your team, with whoever you supervise, and making sure that if you're at the executive or senior level, that the leaders below you are doing the same thing, you know, meeting with their own teams, their own direct reports in a regular way at appropriate intervals so that people feel consistently heard and supported. So when we were talking about a diverse listening toolkit in the last episode, consistency was starting to come up. And I mentioned that it's really the relationship or stuff that happens, you know, kind of off the books or in less formal times that can create the foundation for psychological safety going forward. So this is really true when it comes to this consistent listening rhythm. It's your willingness to show up, have the tough conversations, you know, be honest that you don't know something. Be vulnerable. Be willing to say, I actually need to look that up. Or we just don't know, but I'll keep you posted if anything comes up. And that kind of interaction, a little bit less formal, but really consistent, can powerfully help you to develop those relationships that are important for you. It also gives you so much better information when you ultimately get to the more formal listening practices. So I'll just share my personal daily routine, or maybe not every single day, but several times a week. What I do in my clinical work, in my clinical role, is I leave my office and I just kind of wander the halls of my clinic. And this is something I've done for pretty much my whole career, at least since I started to fully appreciate and value the role of listening and presence. So I kind of wander and I just check in with people and I say, you know, how are you doing? What's going on with you today? What are things like? You know, what do you need? And I just say things like, you know, I'm here if you need me. And oftentimes they're like, great, good to see you. And I just kind of skedaddle on and keep rolling through the clinic. And sometimes they pause me and they say, oh, I'm so glad. And then we have a conversation. Or maybe they don't stop me in that moment, but later in the day, they're in my office and we're having a talk about whatever it is that's going on. And that presence, my willingness to simply show up, you know, no agenda, I'm just checking in on people, creates the power of relationship where people feel safe, they feel heard, and they feel like they're able to bring concerns and frustrations into the conversation and into the room because there's precedent for that. There's a relationship that is founded and strong enough to tolerate that. And I also find that that helps when, you know, later on, maybe we do something more formal. So in my work, especially my work working with different leadership teams, I help teams do formal listening practices pretty often. So maybe a quarterly or an annual staff well-being survey or a survey to, you know, say how things are going in terms of how two departments are working together to give feedback from one department to another, all that kind of thing. And I find that when those relationships are in place before the formal listening tools are used, It's so powerful because the information that staff are willing to provide is so much better. The quality is better. The quality is richer. And when staff are already feeling heard, they don't have to wave the bright red flags at you to say, hey, I'm in distress. Things are not working. Because they already know that you know that you're hearing them, that you're seeing their concerns, and they can still raise those concerns, but they don't have to do it in a way that's frantic because they're already feeling heard by your consistent presence. So I met with a team of primary care leaders not too long ago, but one of the things that we talked about was the importance of them being willing to show up in this way for their teams. And there were some concerns about that because showing up for your team and being present takes time. And so I think some folks, very understandably, felt pressure and felt it's really difficult to be present and invest in consistently being present with your staff when you feel time pressured and when your staff feel time pressured. So when I was meeting with this group of leaders, we kind of did some brainstorming, like what is most important in your day? And is there anything that you can let go of that can fall away so that you can increase your consistency with this listening rhythm? So I don't know if that's true for you, but it's something that I would encourage you to think about. If this feels like a real stretch, like there is just no way you could show up in that informal way or a formal way, but in a really regular way, consistently being present, even just 10 minutes a week can make a difference. What can you let go of? Because I guarantee your relationship with your staff is probably the most important element of your work life, even if it doesn't feel that way. And I know we're always, and rightly so, focused on patient outcomes and what we need to be doing to care for the people who we serve. And that's beautiful. And yet, if we are not investing in the relationships with our core community, the people who we are truly directly serving, our direct reports, then we're not able to go beyond our direct reports to serve, you know, our community, our patient population. So taking a step back to think about how can I create the time and space and give myself the energy or prioritize putting energy into consistently showing up for my team. I think that's one of the first things to be thinking about, or one of the most powerful. So take some time to think about this over the next week and make a commitment, even if it's just once a week, 10 minutes of time invested, you're going to see that really pay off in the long run. So before I let you go, I want to give you a bit of encouragement because sometimes people can become overwhelmed by communication or just see negative scores and recognize, ugh, no one is ever going to be happy with what I'm doing, or at least feel that way. So I want to take a moment to remind you that actually showing up, even imperfectly, or even giving less than ideal communication quality, showing up is better than being absent. So our employees do best, of course, when they hear from us more often. And when you're thinking about consistently showing up for them, you know, certainly listening is the big thing we're talking about here. But another thing to be thinking about is, can you notice what they're doing in a really specific way? And what they're doing that is powerful, that's helpful, that's beautiful, that's beneficial, that's consistent with what you want to see? And can you go beyond that recognition to actually point that out? So really you're giving positive feedback. And I know that's a little bit outside of what we think of as listening, but it is a powerful way to acknowledge that you see someone. And so when we can show up, listen, communicate, and acknowledge what we see, what our people are doing, it is powerful. And our willingness to be vulnerable, to screw up sometimes, gets us a lot farther than, you know, if we're impacted by fear or our actions are limited because we're not sure that we know what to say or we're afraid of showing up as our true selves. So when we can get beyond that and simply be present in that consistent way, in that imperfect way, our employees really benefit from that, resonate with that, and respond to that.
Thank you for listening to Menders. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with a friend. And don't forget to head on over to mendinghealthsystems.com to get started creating cultural transformation for your healthcare team today. Let's create transformation magic.